Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, everyone. It's Jen. That was a little sing-songy. Was that annoying? I'm sorry. Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. It's very weird to do this when Jess's face isn't in front of me, just talking to myself. But it's Jen and it's Fat Mascara. Welcome. So Jess wanted me to tell you all that she's doing well. She says hi. She misses you. Lake's doing well. Farina's doing well. They're good friends now, so that's nice. Jeff says hi, maybe. He didn't say hi, but I'm saying hi for him. And she's going to be back in about 2 weeks. So for now, you just have me. But I will say our guest interview, Michael Anthony, such an amazing makeup artist. Jess was here for the interview. We did it a couple weeks ago. We've been fan of his work for years. He's been featured in pretty much every magazine there is. Visionaire, Vogue, Elle, Paper, Industry. And he works with photographers like Ellen Von Unworth, Jamie Nelson, Stephen Klein. He's probably best known as the go-to makeup artist for Ariana Grande and Katy Perry. He's also worked with Tinashe, Ayesha Curry, Rita Ora. There's probably a million more people on that list. He grew up in Germany because his parents were in the military, which we talked about, and he's lived and worked all over the world. He's joining us from his home. Well, actually, this was his former home because when we talked to him, he was in the process of moving, but he's in Los Angeles, and his dog was with him, so you might hear the dog, which was super cute. Anyway, we are so excited that we had him on the show. He is so inspiring. His career and creativity, they're just a breath of fresh air, and really just if you need your creative juices to get going, this is the interview to listen to. So we hope you enjoy our chat. Here it is.
So, Michael, where did you learn to do makeup?
I suppose I learned on the job, you know, as I went through my basic training at MAC Cosmetics when I was 19, 20, 21. I learned from the incredible team at the training department that MAC has in California and New York. I was really aggressive about my training because I had a little bit of insecurity about not having a lot of technical skill in doing makeup. I had artistic skill from going to school and sort of being naturally gifted, but I didn't have a lot of technical skill when it came to being a makeup artist, so to speak.
So did you just go to, you went to the MAC store or you went to like, how did you went to the MAC store and you said, you know, I want to work for MAC. And then they hired you and that's where it all started.
Basically, you know, I went and said, I would love to work here. This looks like a really incredible fit for me. I love all the sort of outward expression of everybody's individuality. I love playing with colors and drawing and all that stuff. I think it'd be a great job. And they said, bring us something that shows your technical skill or that you know what you're doing. So I brought a piece from my senior college submission, which was, I was in an advanced placement art class, and I brought this huge like butterfly surrealist pencil sketching that I had done. And they were like, okay, you definitely would be valued here. And from then on, anybody that was doing makeup nearby me, other artists, the trainers, the senior artists, I would be paying attention. I would take notes. I would try things that they taught me. And then I pursued classes, you know, I pursued education, whether it was like online. And this is before influencer world and sort of everybody sort of had these standards of how you do things. So I was getting, you know, I was kind of really getting the tips from the old school, the old guard. But then I would say, you know, I really kicked into like hyperdrive when I started doing Fashion Week in New York and Paris and Milan, because that's when it's like, that's the battlefield. You have to work so fast under sometimes really intense conditions on, you know, models that are really tired and dehydrated. And that's when you really learn, for me, that's when I learned a lot about the functionality of makeup.
Right, right. Well, really quickly, because sometimes I don't even know, how do people jump from you're doing makeup on the store floor at MAC, and then you're telling me you're, you know, at Fashion Week? That seems like a major, like a dream for a lot of folks who are on the store floor, and now you're in Paris. How did you get there? Just, I'm sure that there may be a lot of detail, but that's a lot. That's a huge jump.
Yeah, it was a dream for me. I mean, it still is a dream. That's where a lot of that, being there and seeing what is created and being part of that, you are creating a dream. It's like a fantasy.
Yeah.
My particular journey was sort of, you know, I expressed interest in being on the pro like Fashion Week team.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then I sort of proved myself and made myself available. So that means like slugging through the snowstorms in February for Fashion Week. It means taking the 4 a.m. train to get to Midtown for the 5, 6 a.m. call times. It was really a lot of like grunt work, a lot of like unglamorous stuff. Mm-hmm. But the payoff was, you know, this invaluable lesson on how the people that were keying the makeup shows get the job done, like the whole process. It's not everybody gets to sort of get Fashion Week certified, but if you get Fashion Week certified at MAC, then you're able to participate in doing the shows. After I left MAC, I continued doing Fashion Week as a freelancer. So I was paying for my own tickets, you know, to fly to Paris and to fly to Milan, paying for my own hotels, and there'd be little cliques of us that would share hotels and stuff. You know, you barely eat. I don't read French or speak French. So you figure it out, you navigate how to get to the show. And it's a whole different time, but you learn things that they don't even apply to like this YouTube, Instagram version of makeup. It's something that you have to experience, you know?
Right, right. It's definitely a different era now. You know, when I first discovered your work, I remember it was really around the time that I got to Cosmo. So it was about 2013. And I'm not sure when you created these pictures, but I remember, you know, I had to just get so much inspo for some of the fashion spreads that we were doing. And at that time, the pictures that I found that you did were a lot of them with Jamie Nelson, the beauty photographer. Mm-hmm. She does a lot of beauty. She does other photography too, but she does a lot of amazing beauty photography. And your photograph stood out from so much of the other beauty photography at the time, beauty makeup. There was like Chanel decals, googly eyes, so many appliques on the face. And there was a real sense of humor and like a sense of playfulness, but also just like a really kind of like self-conscious, like I would say like emoji, glamour, like it's kind of like makeup as pop art. And yeah. when I look at what's happening in the world now and in beauty now, it's like not makeup to be pretty. It's like makeup that is living, walking art. And you were doing this, God, like now this is like 8 years ago. Where yeah. does that come from? And you really like predated what's happening now.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's like a huge honor to have somebody else acknowledge that and say that. I certainly don't hold on to any, you know, like I don't get credited for things because I have inspirations that maybe somebody could say, oh, well, you're, you know, that's a facsimile of something that someone did in the 90s
well,
or whatever.
Yeah, it's all like, yeah, I'm not saying you invented appliques or putting a logo on a face. You know, like, you know, there have been people who have done that before, but this was so, I look at a picture and say, that's Michael Anthony and Jamie Nelson, you know, or that's like, it,
yeah.
it, you had such a strong aesthetic. And I remember just waving these photos around, like, we've got to do something with it. You know, it was just so, it's so cool. But like kind of, you mentioned you were an art, you know, more artistic before. That you were an artist before you were a makeup artist. Like, can we talk about a little bit of that inspiration?
Totally. You know, when I was a kid, I had like, you know, I had ADD. I was very hyper and I could excel at anything that was put in front of me if I was interested in it. And I would usually be better than the kids around me. But if I wasn't interested in it or I couldn't focus on it, I didn't do so well. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would get in trouble at home, you know, I'd be grounded in my room. I had art supplies in my room. And I think I learned very early on that a way for me to deal with my emotions or to process what I was thinking was to focus on making something, using my hands and creating something beautiful. Sometimes it was dark. Sometimes it was like really whimsical. Sometimes it was like really meticulous, but it helped me calm down. And I think that over time, I realized that there's a certain degree of taste level that people acknowledge sort of subconsciously when they see images. And I think it all relates back to the principles of beauty. You know, when you're looking at somebody's face, your brain is acknowledging clarity, color, symmetry, proportion, size, all these factors that weigh into if we're attracted to the image or if we're attracted to that face or, you know, we're recognizing that as beautiful. And I've always been fascinated with the surreal properties of like Picasso and, you know, sort of a twisted version of what people think is aesthetically like pleasing. So as I got older, I like to sort of do things that weren't necessarily in the rule books or it wasn't sort of by the book because I knew I could come up with something that would be gratifying for me to look at. And it would have sort of my own signature on it. Mm-hmm. And so when I started working with Jamie Nelson, she's the type of photographer that is like, more is more. Do as much as you want, as much as you can. And that was really helpful for me because she allowed me the space to be as creative as I wanted to be. And I was able to learn through sort of looking at the edits and looking at our final work, how to sort of fine tune my voice in a way. And, you know, honestly, sometimes I think creative people, we have a way of looking at a problem and saying, there's a way around this. If I don't have metallic paint, if I don't have holographic paint, which is sort of what my medium is supposed to be, why don't I just use a sticker? Why don't I cut paper out? You know, because there's this crafty like way of thinking of like, I want it. That's what I want. I'm going to make it happen, you know? And so applying that to makeup became sort of like this little trap door I didn't know existed. And once I went down that path, I was like, okay, this comes naturally to me. I really enjoy it. I really like to play with, you know, the shapes and like, how far can I push this? And yeah, that was a great time. And I know that the images that you're talking about and that one particular image, the Chanel one, that was really powerful for me because I spent like pre-production time at home cutting out tiny letters from all of my like Vogue archives. And I placed them on the cover of a magazine on Grace Jones's face, just lining it up. And I see that as sort of like an alchemy, like I'm putting my energy and my idea into the pot and I'm making magic out of it and sort of preparing myself for what I'm going to do on the shoot.
Right. It was really, really spectacular. And if anyone hasn't seen it, I suggest you like just give it a quick Google. And then also you mentioned Jamie Nelson. You've worked with her. You worked with other just really strong, strong women, whether behind the camera, Ellen von Unwerth, and then certainly the celebrities that you work with are just, they're not just like any like, oh, up and coming like female pop star. I mean, you're working with like the strongest women in the game, Ariana Grande, Gwen Stefani, Katy Perry. Is this a very, I mean, no one's going to say no to these names, but is this a very conscious choice that you work with these very strong female collaborators? This seems like almost very like intentional.
You know, I think it's really fascinating. The people that are really close to me that know more about my journey from the inside, they know that a long, long time ago, I set my intentions when I moved to New York and I spoke out loud what my intentions were and what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. And along the journey, I've continued to sort of recalibrate where I want to go and what I want to do and who I want to work with. And you have to put in the work on your side, but there is also this, for me, there's this overall, like kind of all-encompassing idea of we're all steering our own ship. What you put in and your intentions with what you do have a direction. And for me, it's continued to line up. I think mostly because I do not settle for any achievements or accomplishments as being like where I'm going to drop an anchor and just exist in that space. Once I achieve something or accomplish something, I'm looking at how does this move me forward in life? And not just financially, not just, you know, my reputation. I as a whole, as a person, as an individual on a journey in the world, you know, the larger audience you have working with these bigger pop stars, there has to be a sense of purpose in a message. This is not just let's play with lipstick and eyelashes, you know, because I certainly won't want to look back when I'm in my 70s and 80s and be like, I really did know how to glue those stickers on real well. I would like something bigger than that. And so you have to kind of like check in with yourself and say, okay, I've gotten to this certain point and I have all these eyes on me. Where does this come from? Where am I going? Who am I reaching? What's my message? Mm-hmm. So I think your question was, is it intentional working with these people? And my intention is always to work with people who I can have a connection with, mm-hmm. and we can have an exchange of energy when we're working together and we can collaborate and evolve both of us, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, that's the only way I can feel like this job as a makeup artist is gratifying on more than just, you know, a job level, you know?
It just struck me because, you know, it was when I was like doing some research last night and reading past articles, I know that, and on your Instagram, it showed that like you loved Kevin Aucoin's Making Faces. And Kevin Aucoin was someone who surrounded himself with like, yeah, he did makeup for like every major famous person that he, you know, was like super famous at the time. But he also had like really close clients who were like really powerful women, like Tori, Winona, you know, Cher. And I was thinking a little bit of a parallel that like you have really close, super powerful women that are like in your kind of orbit right now. So I don't think by any means like you've modeled it the same way, but I was wondering like there are like powerful women musicians. Like, I don't know. I was just seeing where that was going.
That's a really good observation. And, you know, when I watched the documentary on Kevin's life that came out a couple years ago, I was in tears. I had never, and it gives me goosebumps, like I get full chills, mm-hmm. because I had never seen somebody's story that looked so similar to my own, mm-hmm. in a sense of I grew up around women. I grew up admiring the beauty of the women in my life. I grew up idolizing pop music, pop stars, and I was really sucked into the fantasy of villainesses and glamour and, you know, all of that stuff. And so to find myself in a position where I'm now doing things that Kevin did, it's, I understand his journey so much more than I ever thought I would. And I understand his impact. First of all, his impact on me and almost all of my peers is, you know, unparalleled. There hasn't ever been anybody like him in the industry. He really did open the door for all of us to do what we do today as a celebrity makeup artist. As you know, for us being like facing forward instead of like behind the scenes. And I can relate to having personal relationships with my clients because we spend so much time together and we are on a journey and there is an exchange of energy and time. And, you know, for me, I've been really lucky to have these women in my life that have moved my life forward, not just with notoriety or with gigs, but personally. We learn a lot of life lessons from our friends that are in these positions, and vice versa. And I think that another beautiful part of being in the position I am in is that, you know, it's a reflection of you in a weird way. Celebrities have this reality where they have to kind of be in a bubble for their safety and because of just the lifestyle. So for me to be in anybody's bubble is first of all, it's an honor. And I hold that very, you know, I'm very respectful of that. But it also allows me to bring them some of the outside world into their bubble, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you just about this bubble and the persona. You even mentioned like the villainesses and the characters.
Yeah.
There's something about the women that you've worked with that are, they are personas and you help them create this image that's not fictional. These are real people, but it does feel that way sometimes. So can I ask you about that? About like, take Ariana Grande, for example. Like when you did positions, like you once said like, oh, I helped her with the administration, obviously, because the video is like a presidential administration. But in a way, I was like, oh no, he's part of like the West Wing of Ariana's new look. Like you created this, like, there's this image-making quality to it. Like, is that intentional when you go in? Like, I'm going to create a character? And do you separate from the person of Ariana, my friend, or Ari, who I might talk to? Or how does that work, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, it's layered. There's different layers to that. And it's certainly different with every client you work with. I can say that I think at some point in my career, people identified me as somebody who is able to execute exciting character makeup that's still character fashionable and beautiful and, you know, not
a caricature.
Like, exactly. Yeah. So it's a bit transformative. You know, pop stars are supposed to embody all sorts of different personas. So I think that's a really strong skill set to have as a makeup artist. If you want to work with pop stars, you have to sort of be able to give different characters. But this goes back to what we were talking about earlier as far as like intentions. I had a meeting. I'll never forget this because it's one of the biggest agencies in the world. And I had a meeting with them in New York. And I was not a baby makeup artist, but I certainly didn't have much else going except for like I had assisted really great makeup artists and done Fashion Week. And I went in there with my little portfolio and I didn't realize how the industry worked, where they say, so how much money do you make? Who do you work with? And then they sign you based on that. It's not like a development deal like in music where they say, let's turn you into a star. That's not how it works usually. So I walked in there and they said to me, so what do you want to do? And I was kind of like gobsmacked because I was like, I thought that was obvious. I'm a makeup artist and you're an agency. I thought we kind of, you know, I assumed wrong. And I said, in the moment, I was like, I got to say something. And I said, well, I guess I want to be the makeup artist that people go to, that celebrities come to when they want to transform their look into something super editorial and crazy, but really beautiful. So
I like that answer. Was that not the right answer?
It turned out to be the right answer because that's what I'm doing.
Okay, cool. I'm like, oh, I would flunk. Okay, yeah. Wow. What an open-ended question. Was that supposed to stump you, or were they just like chatting? Were they just like killing time?
Honestly, I do believe they were just killing time. They're like, let's just be nice to this guy because he like works with some of our artists. But I think what they were asking me was, do you want to do editorial makeup? Do you want to do beauty? Do you want to do beauty campaigns? Do you want to do celebrity? Because there's this thought, and this is, you know, a few years back, but there is this idea that you have to put yourself in a box of, this is the kind of makeup I do. And that's something that I have always refused. I've never said to myself, golly gee, the only way I'm going to make it is if I get like on a press tour for like a big Marvel movie and work with like a lead actress doing bronzy smoky eyes for a year. Like I to me, doing red carpet or like just beautiful everyday glam, that's like taking your first math course. That has to be something that's in your back pocket at all times from the beginning. That's not like a goalpost for me. So I used to get frustrated by this idea that what excites me is like the images with stickers and the Jamie Nelson type imagery where it's like candy. But what inspires all these agents and all these brands that are sponsoring things are these boring red carpet posts where everyone's posed like a tea kettle in front of flash bulbs. I'm like, how am I going to make my way in this business? I will be so bored if that's all I do, you know?
So why do they like that? Sorry, finish your thought, but I want to know why they like that so much.
I think that it's just an outdated structure, but it's also to sell things. And I get it. I understand it. It's like if you are trying to sell something very specific, you can't have everything in the kitchen sink on it because the general public can't dig through it all. But I mean, I exist in a world where I can do both, you know, sometimes on the same people. I can give you a beautiful red carpet, just a nice fluffy lash and like a matte peachy lip. And then the next day we're going to give you like tapes and glitter and, you know, stickers and the whole kit and caboodle, you know?
Well, that is funny, because you do it all. I was looking, you know, at your work, and I'm like, oh, like you go to his website. He has like celebrity, you know, campaigns, crazy shit. You know, like it's everything. Yeah.
I love the crazy shit.
You're so lucky that you get to have that as part of your career. Obviously, it was intentional the way we've been talking. You've sort of dreamed it into being. But I wonder. I think about people who are not pop stars and kind of get. You know, they look at the red carpet and they want to find inspiration there. But when it's somebody like Katy Perry or Gwen Stefani, it's like, well, that's not for me. And they just get stuck in their rut. I mean, you've worked with these quote unquote real women when you were at Mac. Is there anything it can learn from the big inspiration that you give them? Like, okay, here's Ariana doing the 60s thing. Like, should I be doing the 60s thing? Like, we get like people literally ask us, is that cool now? Do I do that?
Well, what do you tell them? I'd say, you know, what I'm doing is I'm honing in on a specific sort of like a vibe or an era, and we're sort of setting the tone for what we're going to do over the course of like an album cycle or, you know, yeah. Something like that. And I think that as a body of work, you can draw as somebody who just, let's say, like a normal person that loves makeup or wants to incorporate something from that world into their everyday or, you know, try something fun. I think that you can look to that in its entirety and draw something from it that is inspiring to you. So for me, that looks like, you know, after the Positions era glam situation kind of came out, so many of these other girls that I see on Instagram are doing like a hard crease, but it's with a softer brown. It's with a caramel, like a taupe, instead of a black line or like something really sharp, like they carved it out with concealer. So there's nuance to all of this stuff. And you can see the impact it has by it sort of being redone and sort of adopted to fit other people. And that to me is huge, you know, because it's taking something that I like. Something that I said, you know, let's do this shape, but let's have it a little softer. Let's have it sort of universally flattering. It looks great on everybody because we're using a softer, neutral color that people aren't going to be terrified to try.
It's like and the, not the cut crease. It's like the soft cut crease.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally. It's and again, like I didn't recreate the wheel. I mean, I'm sure that definitely that shape has been done before. But it's about the alchemy of like the ingredients. So it's like the right person, the right place, the right time, the right exposure, and with the right intentions, you know?
Have you seen that happen with other at other times in your career? Jess and I actually remarked specifically on the example you just gave recently. Mm. Have there been other things where you've been like, you've gave yourself a little pat on the back, like, I feel like I might have brought that orange lip gloss back, you know, or whatever it is?
Like I said, I try not to keep tabs on like, oh, that was me. I did that. And somebody copied. I hear from other people and I get things sent to me that say, this looks like it's your work or they copy. But I've seen a lot of people that have been inspired by some of the crazier things that I've done. And I love seeing it because that means they took time for themselves to be creative and to express and try something new. And that's important for all of us. I need to be inspired just like, you know, the guy next door, or the girl next to me doing makeup. We all need inspiration and we can share that. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, I've definitely seen the stuff that Jamie Nelson and I do. It's so far in a certain direction that people can't help but try it and copy it, you know? As far as like beauty stuff, like the biggest viral moment was the Rain On Me music video with the white floating crease. I've never had that many people express their love for something that I had done. White eyeliner sales went through the roof. I should have, you know, bought stock in white eyeliner.
What an awesome feeling. How flattering.
It was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Listen, there are so many skincare products on the market claiming to help reduce fine lines and wrinkles, and you know I will try most of them. But how do you know your products are actually working? Some research to back up the claims. That's why Jess and I are all about Ritual. They created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted a clinical study to take the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual's Hyacera is now a part of my skincare routine, and I got in the habit of taking it every day by putting the cute little purple jar right next to my sunscreen. It looks nice on my vanity, and let's be honest, I love that. But once I stuck with the habit, I really noticed a difference in my skin. I am not the only one. In a clinical study, taking Hyacera for 90 days led to a 3.6-time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles as compared to placebo. And it led to a 2.9 increase in skin smoothness. I also like that they're easy to swallow. The capsules sort of taste like vanilla. They're not all weird and fishy like some other supplements. Plus, Ritual is a certified B Corp, something we learned about on a recent episode. And all their supplements, including the Daily Protein and their Sleep Bio Series Melatonin supplement, are vegan, gluten-free, and made traceable. Do what Jess and I did. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence.
Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, so talking about the white eyeliner, and that's it's kind of a color because it's a color we like never really use on an eyeliner. But when, let's talk about brights because myself included, I get so excited when I see like a bright eyeshadow palette, like turquoise, hot pinks, purples. Then I get it and I'm like, I'm going to use this. I am.
Psych. to prop up your computer or something.
To adore every morning and then use something peachy, you know? So yeah. I want to know how somebody who has the appetite for bold color, but like is almost there at the edge of the pool, how can we just like dive in?
You know, that I get asked that question frequently, and my honest answer is you don't have to dive in. You can stick a toe in and see if the temperature of the water is suitable. So that looks like a little dash of color at the very end of a cat eye, right? Like maybe you're lining your waterline on the bottom with a bright, vibrant color, or maybe you're taking the normal makeup you do, and then at the very last minute, you're just dusting on that turquoise in the center of the lid. I think you do have to tiptoe into color in that way because you want to put it on and you want to look in the mirror and you want it to feel good and exciting. So if you overwhelm yourself by like, let's do a full turquoise eye or let's do a bright hot pink lid, it can scare you off of it, right? So yeah. I think tiptoeing, like incorporating it into your eyeliner or using it as a wash of color after you do your normal makeup to sort of tone your eyeshadow. You know, there's little tricks like that. Also, I love colored mascara. That's a very strange, like, adventure to go on. But I think it's really fun to play around with different colors of mascara on your lower lashes because it's sort of just like a little wink at vibrant color without overwhelming all of your features.
I like that a lot. Okay. Something I really love about you is that I feel like you really like live and breathe fashion and beauty. And I feel like your kind of joke about the teapot stance and the boring ass bronze eye kind of says it all.
No, it has its place. It has its place.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, listen, I'm wearing kind of like, I'm looking at myself now, like I don't know what kind of tired.
Champagne, darling. Champagne. Yeah,
yes, exactly. It's I think champagne. You nailed it. Yeah. I'm not going to say the brand, but yes, I like reached for my champagne eye this morning. But like, yeah, there's passion in your work and you're not like, it's not like you just started doing this yesterday. Like, you're like been moving and grooving for like a while on this and it feels almost like this is your first day on the job and you're so excited to be here. And I mean that as a compliment. Like it's like there's passion and enthusiasm. But what kills me is at the same time we are like living in this moment where people are talking about like slumping makeup sales and everyone just wants to live in their sweatpants and they just want to put on skincare and everything's so lame and boring and oh, we ever go out again? You know, like how do you feel about these two things colliding? Because I am excited about like my four pan peacock color. I do want to, you know, I don't know if I want to get dressed up again so fast, but you know, I want to wear makeup again. I want to feel that kind of excitement. So how do you kind of, for the average person, how do you mesh these two things? What are your feelings on makeup coming back, hopefully?
Well, you know, I was having this conversation with, I think my boyfriend the other day, and we were talking about how after, I think, World War II or something, lipstick sales surged because it's something that's really small. The price point is relatively like affordable for the average person's income, but it can be so transformative you put a bright shade of lipstick on and you feel like you could host a podcast and your name is Jen. I don't know.
I did this for you. I felt like if I got to bring the energy, I go red light.
You see? So you knew psychologically you would be energized and it would energize anything you do by having a red lip. So regardless of what's going on in the economy or politically, you know, having to stay at home or not, makeup is still present and it's omnipresent. And mm-hmm. I also believe that once the gates are lifted and we are able to go into the world, we're going to be seeing the craziest shit. Like, do you know what I mean?
I'm thinking about like the parties and like people are going to lose their shit.
They're going to lose it. It's going to be like, you know, you see those kids that get into their mom's makeup and it's all over.
Yeah.
But we're going to be celebrating that. We're like, I feel that. I get it. Yeah. I feel it, you know?
Yeah, I do. I can see like a resurgence of, I mean, people are still doing it now, but like glitter, nail polish, like toenail polish. I mean, like I want to wear sandals. I almost bought like a pink, like, I don't know if like this is like too young for me, but like a pink polka dot like handbag the other day. I don't know. I was like, why who's going to see this? I was like, where am I going? But like, I just wanted something like, it was like pink with like black polka dots. I was just like, I just wanted to feel uplifted. So yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just figured I'd ask Mr. Makeup. Like,
well, you just said you want to feel uplifted. And so you were drawn towards pink and colors have an impact. This is science, you know, colors have, they vibrate a certain frequency. They impact us. That's why they're, I mean, this is a rabbit hole that is a very lovely spiral for anybody with a bottle of wine. Go research like what colors you're supposed to wear to feel different ways, or what colors to put in your bedroom to feel different ways, or what colors, you know, you can surround yourself with for healing, for energy, for relief. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I think that's one of the most beautiful parts of what I do is that I get to sort of use the universe's magic for myself in a way, in an outward way, to kind of draw people in. It's literally like that scene in The Devil Wears Prada where she like gives her the rundown of why she chose that grumpy sweater. The cerulean blue. Yeah. It's like there's a thread that runs through this story all the way back to, you know, energy and vibration. So when everyone's able to go back out and party and celebrate, I think that we're going to see a lot of energy. We're going to all be vibrating on a high frequency. And, you know, even a show like Euphoria, like if you look at what those girls are doing in the makeup department, they're showing you what the kids on TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat are doing and what they want to express. It's like such a great time for everybody to express themselves with these tools like nail polish and, you know, hair color and wigs and makeup. So, yeah, I totally feel that. And I'm looking forward to seeing you and your pink polka dot purse.
I've been listening to you, but I've also been thinking, Jesus, I gotta get, what was I thinking?
You should have got it.
I know. I was actually picturing myself walking down with the street with the bag and then somebody like throwing something at me because like it was too joyful. It just felt like in poor taste.
Like, you need to get out of New York.
Yeah.
Do you live on the Lower East Side? That sounds like a Lower East Side.
No, I live on the West Side, and I got to tell you, it's like not too great on the West Side. Right now, my Citizens app is blowing up like every day. Yeah. Like, it's like literally like, So I was like, maybe I don't need to be running down with like a designer pink and like polka dotted bag.
Yeah,
Bring the joy.
Just keep the joy inside for a little longer. Wait till the snow melts.
I might buy it and then bust it out. Like, we'll see what happens with Cuomo and like the outdoor.
Too soon.
it's too soon for the bag, but I might get it. But I will bust out some colored makeup. I think that is fine.
What is giving you joy? Like, what's your skincare regimen like? Like, body lotion? What fragrance do you wear? You personally? I don't care about Ariana and Katie right now.
Okay, so I personally have been using I got this new bot. I like was in bed shopping on Instagram. I think I was like drunk and I forgot that I ordered this stuff.
I've done it.
And it's so frustrating, but then it's like Christmas and I'm like, oh, I'm like, this brand just sent me something. Oh, I'm so loved. And I'm like, there's the receipt. It was $400. What's wrong with me? So there, 111 Skin has this body oil. And it's got like a rose and like, it smells really, it doesn't smell like really like girly and soft. It just has this kind of really yummy, kind of like spicy fragrance. So I use that and I mix it with like some moisturizer from Le Labo because I like to smell like a mysterious, like world traveler. you know, like, they're like, what is that? And I'm like, I couldn't tell you because I don't even know. But, you know, I mix them. So I mix that. And then I've been wearing this fragrance. I think it's like Maison K. Courdijon or something. I don't know how to say it. Like I said, I truly don't.
Francis Courdijon.
You know the one.
Yeah.
The little red and gold bottle.
Is that the Baccarat one or no?
Oh, the Baccarat, because that's the red and gold.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
And Jen wears that.
Oh my gosh. It smells It warms you up, like in somewhere, like in here, you can like smell
he's
it.
He's pointing
or something
to the back of his head, like behind his ear.
Yeah, no, it's got like a chakra thing going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. It's really, really yummy. So I it's very strong though. So I just kind of like spray one spray or like walk into it. And then for my skincare, I get a lot of skincare from different brands, but I have been pretty loyal to Augustinus Bader, the face oil, and Dr. Barbara Sturm. There's two different cleansers. One that's like a mechanical, it's like a powder and you get it wet and then it kind of turns into a foamy face wash. That's been working really well on my skin. And then I use the hyaluronic acid from that line Dr. Sturm. With a little, is it gua sha? I can never say it right.
Oh, gua sha?
A little gua sha. Like I use this
stone.
Little jade.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I take the hyaluronic acid all over and kind of like de-puff and massage my face. It's quarantine. We have the time. That's a lot, you know, but we have the time. So why not?
Well, it's working. You're glowing.
Yeah, you have beautiful skin.
Thanks. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to just do our speed round, and then and then you're free to go. Okay, ready? Okay.
I think so. What am I supposed to do?
You just answer the first thing that comes to your head. You don't even have to
It's like first word association?
Yeah. Super simple.
Okay.
What is the first grooming product you remember falling in love with? Or like beauty product?
My mom's green color corrector.
Ooh, that's a goodie.
Yeah, extra credit there.
Yeah. As like a kid, I didn't groom. I brushed my teeth as a kid. But I will never forget the day I found her green color corrector because I put it all over my face and I wrapped a towel around my head and I said, I am at the spa. Because that's all, watching the movies, that's why I thought you did spa.
Wait, where did you grow up?
My parents are both in the U.S. Army and we were stationed in Frankfurt, Germany.
Everywhere.
I was everywhere.
Oh, that's
interesting. All over. Yeah.
Very interesting. What quality do you admire the most in others?
Kindness was the first thing that I thought of. That sounds corny.
No, it doesn't.
That's probably I admire that the most in people. I think probably because of the business I'm in, you see a lot of weird like behavior and mentalities. So when someone is genuinely just a kind person that has like good manners, I'm like, I know I could be homies with that person.
Got it. You see a lot of weirdness.
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
Oh, I wish we could have him on longer. Okay. if there was one rule you wish everyone would follow, what would it be?
Use your turn signal. I cannot stand.
I knew you were going to do a driving one. In my head, I was like, I just felt a driving one coming from you. I love
when
it.
When you're making an unprotected left turn at a green light and you're waiting for the person to go through the light and then they just turn, I want a kindness horn to honk at them and say, please just use your turning signal. It's so stupid.
Oh my God. I'm picturing you getting that installed, like tricked out in your car and it goes use turn signal.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I'm trying to be kind, but the language that I really want to use is a little different.
I got it.
Okay. If what is your most played song on your playlist right now?
Should I look or just guess?
No, it's just like instinctual from here.
Oh gosh. It is.
That's the answer we want. Whatever you just thought of.
Okay, it's probably oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
That's it.
It's probably Boombayah by Blackpink.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. No, are you embarrassed?
Yes, I thought it was gonna be like crazy.
What would be crazy though?
It's like a lot.
I mean, when people have kids, they say like, you know, the Wiggles and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. For me, that's insane. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun. It's cardio, you know.
And if there were to be a movie made of your life, who would narrate it?
Ooh, hopefully like James Earl Jones, because his commanding, booming voice. Oh, you know what? Actually, David Attenborough. I would want David Attenborough. That has to be the guy. I am obsessed with, like, you know, just around the corner in his natural environment, Manthony. See how he uses the brush to Everglade. Fortune favors the bold. Let's see what lashes he chooses. That's what I would want. I would be riveted.
I love it. We'll put you on the BBC. We'll do a whole biopic about you.
Yes, please, love. I would love that.
It sounds good. I actually want to see this movie now, so you got to keep going. Put that as the next thing on your inspiration board.
Fortune
next goal,
favors the
know
bold.
That's how you live your life.
I was thinking that you were going to ask who would play me, and I was like, how could you do this to me? I can't answer that question. That's too hard.
That'll be for our second podcast. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was awesome.
This is awesome.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
Okay, was I right or was I right? That so much fun chatting with him. And then I went back and looked at a lot of his work, and it just has this sense of joy and like poppy excitement that, you know, in a gray wintry day here in Brooklyn is just giving me life. I hope it gives you life too. Check him out and definitely follow him on Instagram. Okay, it is time to raise a wand. Also, you guys should tell me your raise a wand. So I want you to call me. Call me. We'll talk. You know the deal. We won't talk. 646-481-8182. That's my husband coming home and making noise while I'm recording and the dog barking. Hopefully you can't hear that. Anyway, or you can send us a voicemail at info@fatmascara.com. So my raise a wand this week is for laundry detergent. I know I've been having these weird splurges. Like the things I'm splurging on in pandemic times are like socks, laundry detergent, hand soap, like just elevating your everyday life. I need it right now. I want to raise a wand to Laundress detergent. So it's about $18-$20 for a bottle. I use it only for my intimates. Oh my God, I can't even say that. Whatever, my bras and underwear. Actually, my underwear, no. Just my bras are what I wash by hand. And this laundry detergent, it makes me so happy. I get the Le Labo ones. The Rose 31 is good. You can get Le Labo Santal. It stays in the clothes. The scent stays no matter what scent you pick, but it isn't itchy. Like some of the laundry detergents that I wash by hand, my bras, then they feel itchy on my skin. I don't know how they do this, but their fragrances are strong and last, but do not itch. And they smell so freaking good. There's lots of options. You should check out their website. Yeah, I know it's a splurge, but like nobody likes washing their bras by hand, and you know you have to do it if you want that bra to stick around for like more than 3 months. So at least make it like a little bit more fun with this. So raise a wand to Schmancy Laundry Detergent from the Laundress. And yeah, get your beauty sleep. Maybe laundry your sheets with it so you can get your beauty sleep in some nicely scented sheets. I'll see you on Tuesday.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.